is a bigamist.
A man who doesn't know when he's got enough.
Correct. Pay the man $8. How can you carry water in a sieve?
That's easy. Freeze it.
Correct. Pay the man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you service men and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every time at this week, or every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think rhubarb is celery with high blood pressure. Of course, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Inside of Mexico, or Chili Today, and Hot Tamale. He is Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yes.
The 4th of July has come and gone, but the memories of it linger. I held a firecracker in my hand. Have you seen my finger? July sizzle.
I imagine. All right. Next, we have a woman who has stopped growing except in the middle. A woman whose name may not be in Who's Who, but whose picture is in Watch This. Miss Lulu McConnell.
Mr. Howard, we got a rumor at our house, and we don't know who he is.
Don't know who he is? How'd you come to take him in?
Well, we went home one night and found him in bed asleep. He looked so peaceful, we didn't like to wake him up.
That was very considerate.
Yeah.
Well, when he woke up, did you ask him who he was?
He hasn't woke up yet.
How long has he been asleep?
Well, about 4 weeks now.
4 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Did it ever occur to you that he may be dead?
You know, I never thought of that. I better wake him up when I get home and ask him.
Yeah. Ask him what?
If he's dead.
Miss McConnell, did your mother ever have any children that had heads on? Will you let's get on here, please? Never mind telling me. I wouldn't believe you anyhow. Next, we have a man who the day he was born, the doctor said to his parents, congratulations, I think it's a baby. A man who has had a Ph.D. from 3 reform schools and has the scars to prove it. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
I just got a letter from my Uncle Webb put up in Maine, Mr. Howard.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? He bought a hotel.
He bought a hotel?
Yeah. And the other day he caught the bellboy standing on a chair looking through the transom.
Oh,
would you believe it? He fired him right away.
Well, why'd he fire him?
Well, there wasn't room on the chair for both of them.
I see.
Why didn't he get another chair?
Never mind. We won't go into that, Mr. McNaughton. Now, let's get on with the program. Here is the first question for this evening and see what we can do with it.
Yes.
During the Great Flood, the animals marched 2 by 2 into whose ark?
Would you mind repeating the question, Mr. Howard?
I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
During the Great Flood, the animals marched 2 by 2 into whose ark?
Sounds just like what you said the first time.
What I said the first time.
Well, you see that? I was right. Yeah. What's the next question, Mr. Howard?
Mr. McNaughton, some people thirst after knowledge, some thirst after fame. Would you tell me what you thirst after?
Yeah. Pretzels.
Pretzels.
Yeah. You know, my brother-in-law made a lot of money making pretzels.
All right.
It was crooked dough, though.
Sheldon, you have an awful crust pulling a thing like that. It's remarkable how you three vacuum heads can evade so many questions. And any of you ever heard of the Great Flood? This man built an ark.
He built a what?
Ark.
Oh, I used to sing that.
Sing what?
Lo, here's a gentle ark. Ah.
Beautiful. Voice like a sawmill. Yeah, he's flat. All right, please, shut it out. Will you please shut your mouth?
I'll have you know, Mr. Howard, I think that was beautiful.
I'm glad you
You know, Miss McConnell, it was divine.
Yes.
It carried me away.
Well, wherever it carries you to, stay there, please. Can it be possible that none of you know who built Noah's Ark? Do you know, Mr. Shelton?
No, I...
That's right. Now, let's get on with that.
Well, that's awfully jolly, you know. Mr. Shelton got it the first time.
Got what the first time?
I asked you if you know who built the ark.
I know you didn't. I said no.
Well, that's right.
Wait a minute. What is this?
What do you care as long as you answer the question?
But I didn't answer the question. How could I answer the question when I don't know the answer
look,
even?
Look.
Listen, you're not going to accuse me of answering the questions correctly. I'm no stool pigeon.
I see. You have nothing to fear, Mr. Shelton.
Mr. Sheldon, we all heard you answer the question.
Yes.
He did not answer. I heard what he said.
All right.
I got ears.
Yeah, but you better stay indoors when it's windy. Those ears will flap your brains out.
What brains?
Never mind.
Oh, yeah, well, I got brains. Plenty of brains.
Yeah.
I got brains I haven't used yet.
Yeah. And brains you never will use. Mr. Shelton, you mean you don't know who built the ark?
No.
Well, that's right. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Listen, is everybody nuts around here?
Look, wait a minute. Look, Noah built the ark.
All right, let him build it. I didn't even know he had the contract for it.
Oh, wait a minute.
I say, Mr. Hart, tell me, he had a sister, didn't he?
No, he didn't have a sister.
No? Then who's this girl, Joan of Arc?
Sheila. Ah, Johnny. Just calm down for a while. Try and answer this next question. Should be very simple. Can any of you tell me what they call a person that is born in Boston?
You know, Mr. Howard, I have a brother-in-law drives a truck in Boston.
Yeah, well, that ought to help us. What do they call him?
Beatrice.
Beatrice?
Yeah, his mother wanted a girl.
I see. She was disappointed. McConnell, I've seen better heads than yours on the top of totem poles.
Yeah? I've seen better heads than yours on the top of a pin.
Ah. Thank you, Miss McConnell.
Thank you, Miss Howard. Mm. Shall we dance?
Shall we? The question is, what do they call a person born in Boston? Now, to show you just what I mean, Mr. Sheldon was born in Brooklyn.
What's the matter with that? What's the matter? Yes,
nothing.
I was born in Brooklyn.
Well, no, I know.
What are you trying to do, start an argument or something?
No.
Just because Cincinnati took three out of four
I'm
games
coming?
I'm not
talking about Cincinnati.
Why don't Dave Herman gets back there with his big stick?
Look, please.
Come on, you're trying to start something, you are.
I'm not starting
you
anything.
Take your glasses off and I'll punch you right in the nose.
Say, are you looking for trouble?
Yes, I am. If you're looking for it, I can give it. I can dish it out.
You can dish what out?
You're a dumb cluck.
Mr. Sheldon, all I said was you were born in Brooklyn.
I was not.
Enough. Will you cut it out? So you are called a Brooklynite.
Oh, I was not.
What do you mean? You mean you was not?
I was not born in Brooklyn at night.
I didn't. Lee.
I was born at 6 o'clock in the morning.
How do you know?
I went after the milk that morning.
And you've had your head at the mouth of a bottle ever since. Now, let's get on here. As I said, a person born in Brooklyn would be termed a Brooklynite. A man born in Michigan would be a Michigander.
Oh, a Michigander. I suppose a woman would be called a Michigoose.
A Michigoose.
Yeah. And the turtle would be called Michigoosling.
Will you please cut it out?
Look, suppose a person is born in Jersey. Would he be a sweater?
A sweater. He would be called a Jerseyite.
Are you a Jerseyite, Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Funny looking things, ain't they?
Are you insulting me, Miss McConnell?
Phil Baker.
What do you mean, Phil Baker?
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
If a man was born in Virginia, would he be a ham?
No. He would be a Virginian.
But Howard, I was born in Long Island. What am I?
An oyster. Now we turn to our contestants. While Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here, we all can put on our earmuffs and try to shut out the noises of Dr. Novick and his office. Known as the doctor because they used to play on the curb. Here he is, Dr. Novick. All that applause was for, unless it's the reason that you're glad you're finished. All right. Who is our first guest this evening, Mr. Roberts?
He is Bosun's Mate First Class Bob Lama, Mr. Howard. Bob Lama of the United States Coast Guard.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Bob, for coming up. We're glad to have you with us. And boy, may I tell you, you're some hunk of soldier, or some hunk of sailor, rather, I might say. How do you feel?
Feeling pretty fine tonight.
Well, you certainly do look it. I tell you that. Where's your hometown, Bob? Would you care to tell us?
Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, Illinois.
Well, shave my head and call me Baldy. I used to work in that town. Yeah, I was a painter with the OPA.
You were a painter with the OPA?
I used to paint the ceiling.
I see.
Maybe you can come around and paint my ceiling sometime.
Yeah, your veranda needs overhauling, too. Attention to the Bob, they may go away. You say you're from Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Oh, Mr. Howard, did you know Chicago was sick?
Well, what? Chicago is sick?
I just got a letter from a friend there, and it said on the envelope, Chicago ill.
Chicago. I heard some bad ones, but that's the worst. Chicago ill. Boy, that one knocks me for a loop. All right, let's get on.
I say, you know, bosun's mate Latimer, I was in the last war, you know.
Oh, you were?
Oh, well, do I remember the first day I landed in camp. The sergeant said to me, he said, McNaughton, you get up at 5 a.m, you see? You get up when you hear the call, and if you don't hear the first call, or the second call, or the third call, don't bother getting up. You're dead.
And were you?
Please, Mr. Connell. We'll find that out later. How long have you been in the service, Bob?
3 years.
3 years. Congratulations, my boy. That is great, and we're proud of you. What'd you do before you entered the service?
Well, I used to dabble around in radio.
Oh, you did? Well, that doesn't surprise me, because I've been listening to you here. You have a marvelous voice. I was just... I might change Roberts here any time. Come around and see me. What do you think you'll do after this thing is over? I mean, your post-war plan.
Well, I haven't thought too much about it yet,
well,
Mr. Howard.
I know whatever you do, Bob, you're going to be successful in it. And we're mighty glad to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, what's your first name, Bob?
What's your first name?
Bob?
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah,
cute.
Very coincidence.
He's an only cute kid, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my, he's...
Yeah, you're only wasting time.
Well, you can just... You can just call me Evening Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I come out at night.
Yeah. So does your teeth. Will you reach into the lunch cab, Bob, and pick out a question for us, please? And when you get one, would you be kind enough to read it right into the microphone, if you don't mind?
In what city is the New York Public Library located?
That's very good. In what city is the New York Public Library located?
Oh, I say, my word, that's a literary question, isn't it?
Well, not exactly.
Oh, what a pity. I love literary questions.
Do you know the answer?
I'm afraid not. You see, if it was a literary question, I'm sure I'd know the answer.
I see.
But inasmuch as it's not a literary question, I wouldn't know.
I see.
And I'm terribly sorry.
Okay.
Carry on.
Carry on. All right. Mr. McNaughton, please, let's get on here. Are you a moron, an imbecile, or a nitwit?
You mean I have my choice?
You have your choice. For your sake, Mr. McNaughton, we'll say it is a literary question.
Yes.
Now do you know the answer?
Well, what was the question, Mr. Howard?
Ah, forget it, please.
Can I forget it too, Mr. Howard?
I didn't mean you. I'm talking to Mr. McNaughton.
But that isn't fair. Why can't we all forget it? Why
Look.
Just Mr. McNaughton?
Look.
The whole trouble with you, you're disintegrating. That's
yeah,
what you're
and
doing.
And you're a horse.
That's what you're doing. You're showing partial.
Yeah.
Parcheesi.
Yeah, I.
Yeah, I wish I was educated. I'd tell you something.
Yeah, I wish you were.
Tell it in your own words, Mr. Shelton.
You're a bum.
Listen, you three soggy Dixie cups. All I want to know is, in what city is the New York Public Library located?
I was at the library this afternoon.
Did you take out a book?
No, I took out the librarian.
My old man reads a lot.
Yeah, what kind of books does he read?
He don't read books. No, he reads the gas meters.
Ah, wait a minute. Look, I'm asking you all like a sister from the lodge. What city is the New York Public Library located?
I say, you know, I spend hours and hours in the library.
Reading?
No, not exactly. You see, I'm an old filler.
Well, let's get... You're a what?
I'm an old filler. Very interesting hobby, too.
Would you mind telling me, Mr. McNaughton, just what is a no-filler?
Oh, with pleasure, old boy. You see, I go to the library, you see, and I select a book, take it to the table, take my pencil out, open the book, and then I pick out all the words that have O in them, and I fill them in with my pencil.
Imagine imagine that. That must be very interesting work.
You mean you fill out every O in the book?
Oh, I never miss a one. Huh? Some people, you know, miss quite a few, but I get them all.
I see.
I'm an expert.
You're an expert. Yeah.
How long does it take you?
Well, that all depends, of course, on the size of the book. I'm working on a book right now. I don't expect to have it finished until, Christmas.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Forever Amber. Of course, I just fill in the O's with a pencil, you see. The more experienced O fillers fill them in with ink.
Yeah, it's more permanent.
Makes it a permanent
job. I imagine it would, yeah. That's very nice. Look, Mr. McNaughton, you mean to tell me that there's other people who fill in O's?
Oh, my dear boy, there are hundreds of us.
Uh-huh. You have a union, I guess, too.
Oh, well, not... Yes, we're organized.
Oh, you're organized.
Now, you take the artistic O fillers.
Yeah.
They're the ones, you know, the artistic ones that we really look up to.
I imagine. Artistic O fillers.
Yes.
How do they fill them in?
Well, instead of filling the O in, you see, they draw faces in the O's.
Oh, I see.
I've got one of the books at home now. It's a masterpiece. Had it all
by the author?
No, by the O filler.
Mr. McNaughton, I'd love to have you go out and get a straight jacket.
With pleasure. What size do you wear?
Why, Aunt John. Guest, please.
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is a very charming and lovely young lady, Airwoman First Class Hazel Crowe of the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Ah, that's fine. Yes, sir? That is fine, and a beautiful girl she is.
Oh,
and
indeed she is. Well, very beautiful, Miss
Crowe is something to crow about.
All right.
Oh, yes, rather, yes. She's very, very beautiful.
All right.
Very charming.
All right, Mr. McNaughton.
Would you care to come over to the library and fill in a couple of O's with me?
Mr. McNaughton, there's an O in your brain that needs filling in. Pay no attention to them, Miss Crowe. Where's your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
Well, I'm originally from Los Angeles, but now I'm living in Montreal.
In Montreal, Canada. Oh, yeah, beautiful place.
Oh, I've been there.
What's that?
I've been to Montreal.
Oh, you have?
Oh, met a nice young lady there. She went out to dinner. All she had was a bowl of soup.
A bowl of soup? Boy, when I take my girl out, she always orders a $2 dinner.
Nice.
Of course, my girl has teeth.
Your girl has teeth.
I have never been so insulted in all my life, Mr. Shelton. How dare you say that, sir? You old piece of linoleum, you old rag carpet, you worn-out oriental rug, you old doormat, you...
Say, what are you doing here?
I'm laying him out.
You're laying him out. For the interruption, Miss Crowe, but you see how conditions are here. You say you're from Montreal. I was going to ask you, is the Princess Theater still up there?
That's right.
It is?
Yes.
What street is that on? Catherine?
St. Catherine Street.
Yeah, I played there time and time again some years ago. How do you like New York?
I like it very much.
You do?
Quite a city, yeah.
You live in New York now?
No, I'm not. I'm out here on furlough.
Oh, you're not living. You're just on furlough. Well, I sincerely hope you're having a very good time. And congratulations. You girls are doing a great job. Great work you're doing.
Well, I like your uniform, honey. Yeah. I wonder how I look in a uniform like that.
Like June is busting out all over. Would you do us a favor while you're here, please, and reach into the dunce cap and pick out a question for us, if you will. When you get one, would you kindly read it? Just take your time and read it.
What do you catch with fishing tackle?
That's a very good question. What do you catch with a fishing tackle?
Oh, I love to fish, Mr. Hart. Last time I went fishing, I caught six jellyfish.
Six jellyfish?
All different flavors.
All different flavors.
Raspberry, lemon, strawberry, cherry, and lime.
All right, please.
And one chocolate soda.
Ah, cut it out, will you, please?
I like to go fishing, too. Will you take me fishing with you the next time you go, Mr. McNaughton?
He'll need better bait than that. Let's go on.
Boy, do I know a place to fish. Oh, I catch them that big fellas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I go to the same place all the time in my boat.
Well, tell me, how do you know it's the same spot?
Oh, that's easy. I got an X marked on the side of the boat.
Oh, I see. Did you ever hear such a thing, Mr. Sheldon? You're a nitwit.
Yeah, and I got papers to prove it, too.
What do people catch with fishing tackle?
You know, the development of a fish is most interesting, you know. For instance, there's one fish that starts out as an egg, changes into a tadpole, develops into a minnow, turns into a whitefish, and finally becomes a herring.
Huh. Boy, it sure goes to a lot of trouble just to wind up in a delicatessen.
All right, please.
I like deep sea fishing, you know. There you are out on the ocean, gazing at the water, when suddenly a lone shark appears.
You know, those guys follow you everywhere, don't they? If it wasn't for those guys, I'd still have my car.
All right, please.
You know, it's strange how all the big fish eat up the little sardines.
Yeah, I wonder how they get them out of the cans.
Well, don't you know the sardines always leave the key on the outside of the can?
That's how they get in. Please, Miss McConnell, next time you lose your head, don't bother looking for it.
Why not? Where am I going to put my hat?
Can we please get back to the questions about fishing?
We know it's about fishing. You don't have to tell us it's about fishing.
I know.
What do you think we've been talking about all this time?
Gee
whiz, to hear you talk, it made people think and give the impression that we're dumb or something.
They'll never get the impression that you're something. Don't worry about it.
I say, it would be terrible, you know, people thought we were dumb.
Well, aren't you?
That's beside the point.
All right.
Last time I went fishing, I caught a haddock.
Why didn't you take an aspirin?
Well, look, Mr. McNaughton said he caught a haddock, not a headache. Oh. A haddock is a fish.
Oh, you're crazy. A haddock is a sort of a swing. You hang it between trees.
No, that's a hammock.
Oh, no, Mr. Bull. No. A hammock is a sort of a footstool.
Please, that's a hazzock.
Oh, no, a hazzock is a Russian soldier.
That's a Cossack.
Oh, sorry.
I'm talking about a haddock, a fish.
Oh, Mr. Hart, how can you be so stupid? A haddock is what you see at the racetrack. They keep horses in them.
Look, Mr. Sheldon, that's a paddock, a round, wide thing with a broad canopy.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
Mr. Pelagius waving his arms at me, which means our time is up. We'll be around your house this time next week again with a few laughs to make you happy. If you tune in on us, you'll make us happy. So here's our romantic baritone to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week. And hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Speaking, this is the Armed Forces Radio Service.